It's Friday, March 8th, 2024, and this is the Talk Film Society podcast. I am your host, Marcelo Pico, editor-in-chief of Talk Film Society. Here with me, as always, is my co-host throughout this entire awards season series. It's Siobhan Irving. Hello, Siobhan.
Hey, Marcelo.
Hey. Wow. Oh, I mean, can you feel it? It's Oscar's biggest night.
Sure is.
Sure.
It's the Oscar's biggest night.
Is. Oh, God. It's the Talk Film Society Awards. The 11th annual.
Wow. All the stars are out tonight.
Look at that star over there. You got Matt Curion. Wait, who?
I was like looking at the stars in the sky.
Oh, no.
It is nighttime as we tape this.
Yeah, it's 9 p.m. Central time. I was going to make a joke about the stars being the people in the Discord.
Okay, yes. Yes, yeah. The real Matt C.
Yeah.
And friend of the site, Sam Shot First.
Yes. And who's that over there? You got Chelsea.
Whoa, Jay McMillan is here.
Oh, hey. And the rest. Joey, of course, Joey. who else? Thomas, of course, Thomas. And the rest.
Brian, if we're doing Thomas, we gotta do Brian.
Oh, Brian. I don't know if Brian's in the Discord.
Shows up in like a sidecar with him.
Yeah, sidecar. By the way, this is gonna be a little edits in post episode. By the way, I'm not cutting anything out. This is gonna be a live to tape, just like any award ceremony. We're like Joe Coy struggling on stage at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, you're telling me that if Joe Coy didn't get an edit, that he wouldn't have fucking killed.
If he said let me film this a week in advance and let me send you the 20 minutes, you know, pre-cut, he would have killed.
But he only got the job 10 days before.
Yeah. If you didn't know that, I mean, you weren't paying attention because he repeated it like 5 times in the span of like 10 minutes.
And by the way, the jokes you were laughing at, those were his.
Those were his. The ones that bombs, somebody else wrote those jokes.
Somebody else wrote those.
He said, those aren't my jokes. Those aren't mine.
Anyway. I agreed to say them because I thought they were funny, but that's neither here nor there.
We're your hosts for the Talk Film Society Awards, which will happen in a bit. This is more like the pre-show, like the live on the red carpet.
Yeah, the red carpet.
Yeah, the stars are out.
Who are you looking forward to seeing the most tonight, Marcelo?
Who or what?
What?
I'm looking forward to honoring the films of 2023.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to
that's what this whole show is all about, really. Yeah, if you think about it, and we've been doing this for now for a whole 10 years.
Yeah,
is this our 10th annual Talk Film Society?
It's the 11th annual, but it's been 10 years since the first ceremony. The annual thing is kind of tricky.
11th. Okay, so it's the 11th anniversary.
No, Siobhan. Give me a break. The first one was the first annual, so that was a year zero.
Okay, so it is our 10th anniversary,
but the 11th time we're doing the awards. Does that make sense?
I do know that. See, what I'm looking up here is the 10th anniversary. We're supposed to give gifts of tin or aluminum.
Tin or aluminum. Yes. What nominees this year could you connect to tin or aluminum? What's the bomb in Oppenheimer made of?
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to first. Is there a lot of aluminum in there?
Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm assuming there's a lot of aluminum in that city.
Godzilla, I bet, destroys a shit ton of it.
Yeah, yeah. Tin or aluminum. There's some metal that he tears up. What else? Maestro. The instruments are made of tin and aluminum.
These are elements we've had for a long time, used to make things for a long time. So
yeah.
Even back in Past Lives days.
Wait a second. Ah, I'm clever. Hold on. I know what's made of tin or aluminum. This drink. Ah, I just sprayed some all over my microphone.
Yeah, we're getting twisted tonight. We're all having a fun time.
We're having a great time. I'm drinking. First time I've had a drink on mic in a long time. I figured tonight is a good opportunity to just celebrate.
Yeah.
The film, you hear that pour? You hear that pour?
Yeah. He swore it off for a while. He said he had a problem, but we're going to let him have one tonight.
That's right. Again, this is a celebration. Also, very happy to almost be done with this show for another year.
Oh my God, I am excited. That's what I'm really excited about, Marcella. What, one more week of this?
Next week is the grand finale, is the Oscars. Woo! And then that's
yeah, baby.
It. And then we take a break and then come back and dream it all up again.
Yes, yeah. That is worth hold on, you're going to have a drink too. I'm going to have a drink too. I'm going to pop that open. This is a swig of tequila.
Oh, nice.
Tequila. Did I do one of these before the show already? Maybe, but maybe. Why not another one?
Why not? Keep going. Come on. We literally we have like 3 hours to get through this. So drink away.
So if this goes 3 hours, I'm going to fucking scream.
Before we recorded, you said this will be a short one. I go.
I think no it will be short. Let's. I think the red carpet is just about ending. I see our last guest, Noah Thompson, coming by.
Hey Noah. So, hey, Noah. Okay. Look. Listen. Okay. Fine. We'll start the awards here in a bit, but we have some business to take care of up front. Okay. First, I'll say thanks to all the voters. Everybody in the Discord, everybody online, listeners, whoever voted in these awards, you pick the winners. Literally, the voting's still happening as we speak. We'll get to that later. There's one category that we'll talk about, but that's later. But yeah, thanks, and thanks to you, Siobhan. I mean, all joking aside, just pumping out episodes week to week. It's been fun talking to you, and we're racing towards the end. It's like, this is it.
This like Grand Prix. Remember those days?
Grand Prix. A film I think fondly of. I mean,
I do too.
Last episode, I cut out like the 5 minute stretch of us ranking the movies we saw this season. But off the top of your head, Siobhan, I mean, I think we watched some good movies. Grand Prix, pretty good. Sense of the Lambs, great. I know we ended on English Patient, which kind of soured the mood.
Yeah, definitely the worst. Yeah. Master and Commander, fantastic. JFK, JFK, excellent.
Yeah. Frida, I was a big fan of Frida on a rewatch.
Spirited Away.
Oh, Spirited Away, gosh.
I mean, come on, one of the classics of all time.
Yeah. What else? Moulin Rouge. Oh my God!
The Apartment.
Best Picture winner, The Apartment.
Gravity and A Fish Called Wanda, of course.
Yes, Gravity.
Fish and then the final one, Girl Interrupted. First,
that's right.
Girl Interrupted. All began.
I mean, to think we started with watching Girl Interrupted for Best Supporting Actress back in December, and now it's early March. Time sure does fly. Speaking of time flying. 10 years, Siobhan said it earlier, 10 years of the Talk from Society Awards. This is the 11th annual. Siobhan had a brilliant idea. Right, Siobhan? To watch a movie for this episode?
It's been 10 years since we've done this. 10 years is a very... It's the 10 anniversary. It's a very special anniversary. And I said, let's... We always do this movie of the week thing, so I guess we got to add this to the movie of the week thing.
Yeah. We'll see how this ranks. I mean, this was an Oscar winner, but more importantly, why is it that you picked this movie?
This won our very first ever TFS Award Best Film.
Wow. Winner. Yeah.
And that rocks. And we were like, let's look back and see how it holds up.
Yeah. Let's get into that now. This is our movie of the week.
Movie of the week. It's her, by the way.
The movie's her. Her? No. Not
Spike Jonze.
Not an Arrested Development joke. This is Her. Yes, by Spike Jonze. I'm opening up the page.
Jackass's own Spike Jonze.
Babylon's own Spike Jonze. I have not seen this movie in 10 years. I looked at the Letterboxd. February 2014 is when I last saw this. And this is a brilliant idea to go back to see you know, this the first winner. Real quick, the Talk Film Society Awards. Late 2013, I saw that the LA Film Critics Circle, New York Film Critics Circle, all these circles were handing out awards, and I go, I can make my own circle. I can make my own society. And I started the Tweet Film Society and just asked people who I followed or who follow me on Twitter on this account on Talk Film Society to say, hey, I asked them, hey, what are your favorites of the year? And thus it began. And after counting those votes, the winner was her. And let's look back 10 years. So how long has it been since you've – I'm assuming you've seen this before, right, Siobhan?
Yeah, it's probably been 10 years. Honestly, it's probably been just as long. We were both coming at this from the same place.
Yeah. I had a few memories of it. I remember liking it a lot when it came out. I was happy that this won the Talk Film Society Awards that first year in 2014. I'll dig up the nominees of that year, and we'll look back at the Talk Film Society Awards and the Oscars. But your initial thought on Her, this now 10-year-old film, Siobhan. Quick thoughts before we dig deeper.
I also liked it a lot at the time. I had a poster of it in my wall. I did deeply enjoy the film. And I always thought it was cool that it was our first winner. So that's kind of a cute off-the-wall choice.
Yeah. I remember being moved by it back then, but I think I was more moved by it now. 10 years removed, because I've been through it. I've been through
big same.
Yeah, we can get into it as much as you want in a bit, Siobhan. But I've been through it. I think we've both been through it. We've grown as people, and a lot of it, I think, hit closer to home this time than the first time I saw it. I'm now in my mid-30s. Back then, I was in my mid-20s. So big difference, and I can see how personal this film is to Spike Jonze. It just feels like he was really digging through his own life and putting it on screen, and I'm like, oh boy, it's a lot. It's pretty heavy. It's heavier than I thought it'd be.
It's significantly heavier than I remember it being, and that's just because I was 18 years old and stupid. It's a very, very, very personal film, very intimate film that I think tells a lot of truths, hard truths, that are very beautiful and well observed and come from a very sensitive place. Spike Jonze, clearly a very sensitive person, I think.
Yeah.
I think that much is clear. And a very talented writer, able to depict these. For me, I was able to connect this quite clearly to my recent breakup I had over, it was a long distance relationship. And even though, the film's about Joaquin Phoenix falling in love with an AI played by Scarlett Johansson. I mean, even though that's a love with a machine, I had love with a real person through a machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially it is exactly the same thing. And they really go through all stages of it and very, very accurately. And it was hard to watch. It was very, very hard to watch. And I'm still kind of in the state where I'm not over it, really. And like watching this now is a little triggering. But I'm glad I watched it because I like to torture myself. I'm a masochist, Marcella.
You messaged me about an hour ago saying, why did you pick this? Fuck you, Marcelo, I think is what you sent me. Watching it last night, I'm like, yeah. I thought to myself, yeah, Siobhan's going to get a lot out of this.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm... And it's a good movie. It's a very, very good movie.
I think it's legitimately great. It speaks to me in a way I can compare it to this past year's Past Lives. Similar in, I think, in speaking to kind of the truths of being in love and romance and the hardship of like that break of not loving somebody I think those kinds of movies do speak to me now that I'm older. And I think speak to anybody who's gone through a breakup. So this one for sure.
I was kind of expecting this to maybe not hold up as well, because I was kind of thinking maybe this is one of those films that was like kind of twee and quirky.
Right.
You know, it sort of had that in my head, but it's, I don't think it is that at all.
Yeah. It has a tiny bit of that. I think with the wardrobe, I remember people, I mean, not but a few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast where they made fun of the pants in this movie and her, which I'm like, oh, that's right. Like this, that is kind of a bit twee and ridiculous, but I think other than that, no, I think it holds up fine. Maybe it holds up like maybe too well, because I think Spike Jonze really did predict the future pretty well. Like we're kind of living in her now.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not falling in love with our operating systems.
Not yet.
We are more and more and more and more and more and more addicted to online, and some of us are doing stupid things like getting in long distance relationships, and some of us are
just talking to people through a microphone on Skype for hours on end. I could be an AI. Siobhan could be an AI.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's the connectivity that I think this movie put forth. I think we were close or pretty much there to grasping it in 2013, but now we fully embraced it. It's here, and I think the AI aspect of it really, I think, hit the nail on the head when Joaquin Phoenix is like playing a human a letter writer falling in love with an AI system, and being somebody who worked in developing AI, I felt very connected to Joaquin Phoenix's character in that, like, you need a human element to kind of create the falsity of an AI, but also, like, I can see somebody falling in love with an AI because everything that the AI is based off of is from a human. Like, it comes from true, like, humanity. And you see that in, like, Joaquin Phoenix's job, which is, like, writing fake letters. Or not fake, but, like, writing real letters to real people, but, like, under this assumption that somebody else is writing them, you know? Anyway, that's that. It's I could write an article about it, I guess, but I'm just spouting it here on a podcast. But I think it's very true to 2024 that like, point of view of this writer falling with an AI feels all too real now. But yeah, why don't we go back to the Oscars first? All right. What was her up against? What did her get nominated for? Best Picture. Siobhan, take a wild guess. What do you think won Best Picture in 2020? Sorry. Let me take that again, because let's see. Yeah. Siobhan, what do you think won Best Picture? The Oscar ceremonies honoring the films of 2013 was held on March 2nd, 2014. Hosted by Ellen DeGeneres. Can you guess the Best Picture of that year?
I remember, so that's the year that Gravity swept but did not win, right? And the film that did beat Gravity, couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you're right about the Gravity thing. Gravity was nominated this year. I'll give you the list of nominees leading up to the winner. Let's see if this will jog your memory. Okay, nominated for Best Picture this year was Wolf of Wall Street, Philomena, and by the way, I just realized we did do this when we covered Gravity.
We did this.
Yeah,
the Gravity year.
Wolf of Wall Street, Philomena, Nebraska, Her, Gravity, Dallas Buyers Club, Captain Phillips, American Hustle, and the winner, which is, get one last chance.
No.
12 Years a Slave.
Ah, God damn it.
Yeah. gonna be honest, 10 years on, good movie, but not the most memorable movie. Not one that I think has held onto the public consciousness. I think the one from that group that really did, or is still like in the public consciousness, is Wolf of Wall Street. Gravity, I think so. Her, yeah. Captain Phillips, even. But the rest, 12 Years a Slave, I don't know. Still a good movie. Best Director, Alfonso Cuarón, Gravity. McConaughey won for Best Actor for Dallas Buyers Club. Cate Blanchett won for Blue Jasmine. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Jared Leto, Supporting Actor, Dallas Buyers Club. Best Supporting Actress, Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave. I think that was deserved. 12 Years a Slave, Best Adapted Screenplay. And, of course, Best Original Screenplay. Guess who won? It was...
Was this it?
It was Her. Did it win? Yeah.
Did it win an Oscar?
Yeah, Spike Jonze won an Oscar, for Her.
Wow, Spike Jonze, good for you.
Yeah. Let's go back to the full list of nominations for Her. Original Screenplay was the only one it won. It was also nominated for Best Picture, Best Original Score. That is a great score, by the way. Best Original Song, great song. The Moon Song. And Best Production Design. I think that's also a pretty well-deserved nomination.
Yeah, it is. It's got this kind of like very modernist, stark, bleak, or like very clean and open space. Photographed beautifully by one Hoyt Van Hoytema.
Yes. Yeah. I was happy to see his name in the end credits. I'm like, oh, that's that guy. That guy who's in the running this year, right? For Best Cinematographer. Yeah, Siobhan.
Before this started, and this is going to be relevant, Marcelo asked me a question. What year do you think this is set in? I don't know if that's actually answered in the film or not, but it feels just near futuristic enough through the wardrobe, through the way that things are filmed. Like, we only see large cityscapes and like these weird colors that like it does not look like our modern day, but it looks like just near enough in the future, you know, like it looks like maybe it's predicting 20 years into the future.
Yeah.
So I would say 2032. That's my guess.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. Again, like, say for like a few things, like in terms of technology, like, Are we close to getting like a holographic gaming console, like the one
Phoenix has? Not exactly, but I think we could get it.
If
they felt like there was a market for it, I think it's potentially like that could happen.
Yeah, like we're pretty close, and yeah, I think by 2030 we'll have fully like surpassed the Her era. I find fascinating. Like, I should look this up, but the fact that he has like an earpiece that are basically AirPods, and he can do so much with them, it's like, yeah, were we able to do that 10 years ago, or we were,
I wondered that too,
or were we just going to do that? I don't know. It's stuff like that. It's spot on. And I don't know, like, honestly, talking about this movie, it feels like I haven't talked about it in 10 years. It doesn't feel like it's, I mean, to me, it has a special place in my heart for a lot of reasons. But, you know, I wish more people would talk about this movie, like sort of like analyzing it like we are. Like,
it should make a comeback.
Yeah, it should. You know, because you could compare it to, I mean, this is a grand comparison, but like a Blade Runner, where as we move, you know, forward into the future, like, we look at this movie like Blade Runner and say, oh, it was ahead of its time. It captured, try to capture a sci-fi future that we're racing towards. So, great movie. I mean, emotionally, do we want to talk more about that? Because I have more things to talk about that. Wait, before we break our hearts here, let me go back to the Talk Film Society Awards. I forgot to do this. Okay. It won Best Film at the Talk Film Society Awards, okay? I will tell you exactly what else was nominated this year for Best Film, as decided by those voting 10 years ago. Best Film. Here were your nominees for the Talk Film Society Awards. 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Before Midnight, Gravity, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis, Short Term 12, Spring Breakers, The Wolf of Wall Street, and The World's End.
Wow.
Look at that list.
Look at that list. We used to be so cool.
Not anymore. I mean, honestly, okay. Before Midnight, getting in there. I mean, talk about a movie that's held up and is still looked back on and as like
to the dang Criterion great, Collection.
Yeah, that Before trilogy, which is amazing. People still talk about it.
About time for another one of those? Too late.
Almost. I think we're past the 9-year mark. I think they do it every 9 years. I think the pandemic kind of pushed things. You know, I don't know if they said they weren't going to do one right away, or they're going to wait and like do another trilogy like in later age.
18 years.
Yeah, something like that. But knowing Linklater. And how he's like filming that Merrily We Roll Along movie over 30 years. I want to put it past him to make a Before movie, yeah. In like 10 years time, you know, and capture, you know, these characters in old age. Inside Llewyn Davis, another movie that's held up that people still talk about. Short Term 12. I mean, for God's sake, look at that cast. Like half of that cast is
12. That film. Like that film predicted the next like 10 years of our cast.
Yeah.
With the cast.
I mean, I believe in that cast. You have somebody who's in,
two Oscar winners.
Yeah. Brie Larson. Who else is in there? I should pull
this Rami up. Malek.
That's it. That's who I'm thinking of. Rami Malek.
Lakeith Stanfield.
Man. Movie. Okay. What else? Oh, Spring Breakers.
Oh, Spring Breakers. Ugh. One of the timeless film, one that I rewatched just last year, absolutely holds up.
It does. Yeah. I believe I saw it last year as well. And I was like, yeah, this captured a moment. Like this captures 2013, like the early 2010s. So beautifully, like this is it. Like if you want to go back and feel what the 2010s were, go back and watch Spring Breakers.
What were the early 2010s like? I got a film to show you.
Let me pull out my 4K Blu-ray. What is that you have in your hand, Grandpa? Can't you watch it through your brain vision?
You kids.
Kids, this is physical media. Also, The World's End, which... a good Edgar Wright movie. Some would say the best of that trilogy, the Cornetto trilogy. I liked it a lot. But yeah, I mean, come on. Picking Her out of this 10, I think we did a good job 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Quickly going through the other winners. Best Independent Film was Before Midnight. Let's see. Best Foreign Film, Blue is the Warmest Color. Best Director, Alfonso Cuarón, Gravity. Let's see. Oh, we gave Best Original Screenplay to Spike Jones for Her. Yeah, Best Acting Ensemble, The Wolf of Wall Street. But yeah, what a year. This is worth noting because I think we're going to talk about this later. I gave out, or I say I because I was in charge of these two awards, but I asked around and took feedback on what we could give this to, but we had two special awards, an honorary award and the Founders Award. I guess the Founders Award is more self-explanatory. The honorary award went to Martin Scorsese, a Thelma Schoonmaker, for their work over the years and for The Wolf of Wall Street, and the Founders Award went to Matthew McConaughey for being in Mud, Dallas Buyers Club, and The Wolf of Wall Street on 1 year. So
okay.
There you go. That was the first annual Talk from Society Awards. Back to Her. What else can we say about Her?
What else you got to say about Her? I don't know. I feel like I said it all.
Yeah.
Dedicated to James Gandolfini.
Yes. Yes. I want to go through this cast a bit before we move on, because some of this cast was a shock, or more specifically, seeing Chris Pratt in this was a jump scare. Yeah, I go,
the biggest movie star in the world in this film is
like
a small bit part.
In a bit part that I think he should be doing, that he's good at, kind of playing like a...
Do you think he'll ever get back there?
I don't think so, which is a shame. Because, I mean, he did it for how many years, like on Parks and Rec? And then he does same shtick in this. He's good at being like a comedic supporting actor. Like, he's got the chops for that. Sure, whatever, you know, action hero, leading man. That's boring. I'd rather see this kind of Pratt than the other Pratt. But whatever. Olivia Wilde as the blind date. Siobhan, I mean, to be brutally honest, that sequence really struck home with me, being on several blind dates that felt like it was going just fine, and then all of a sudden it doesn't go fine. It does, again, that's why I said earlier, it feels very personal. It feels like Spike Jonze was saying a lot of things that putting on screen a lot of things that he's gone through as an adult trying to find love. But that scene in particular really hit home. It's like, oh, Jesus, yeah, that felt real. But she's great in it.
Rooney Mara,
I want to talk about Rooney Mara, Amy Adams, and Scarlett Johansson. So Mara, in the brief moment she's in this, brief nonverbal moments, like the memories, like that to me hit me too, because having been through a relationship myself where I spent 6 years with somebody and thinking back on all the good times, and sort of like that being heavy on my mind as I try to move on with my life, like, yeah, it gets it right. It gets that sort of like trying to break away from somebody, but also having them just over your shoulder, on your mind, like they're
pervade your mind.
The moments where like she criticizes him for being in love with an AI, and then that thought, you know, just going through his head, and him making mistakes as he deals with Scarlett Johansson's AI character. Yeah, that felt very real and like very like honest, like in how you deal with like a past love. So that was a great performance from Mara in like the brief scene she was in. Amy Adams is great. I think like her performance through the movie by the end, I think felt like very the kindred spiritness of her with Joaquin Phoenix really hit home. Like it also feels very real on that, like, you know, these people who are going through the same thing but not at the same moment. It's like you could talk with somebody who's like in a relationship and you're going through a breakup, but then you're moving forward and like they break up, and like it do you know what I'm saying? It's like you're friends with somebody who you're both at different points in your life. And at the very end, when, I guess, spoiler, like they're both broken up with, they're both kind of alone, they meet at that rooftop and they're there for each other. Finally, it feels like they know each other too well in where they are, where they can fully relate. So I find that very helpful.
Maybe this is too much for on mic, but I felt like there's an aspect of Amy Adams that is like the inverse of me, that like Amy Adams is her and not me. And that like seeing that was kind of heartbreaking to see it from another perspective. Soul crushing. I want to say Spike Jonze, small part, kind of casts himself as like, I don't want to say the asshole, just like kind of oblivious, perfectly nice guy, but like just isn't right, you know?
Wait, was it Spike Jonze you were talking about?
No, I was talking about Amy Adams.
Oh, sorry. No, I...
And then I moved to Spike Jonze.
Oh, sorry.
Amy Adams is the one that breaks the relationship with Spike Jonze and sends Spike Jonze spiraling out to being a Buddhist monk or something.
But that, out. Siobhan, I have to correct you. That wasn't Spike Jonze.
Was it not?
No, no.
I thought they were together.
No, hold on. That's why I was confused, because Amy Adams' character is going out with, I'll look it up. Who is Amy with? She's divorcing Charles. Charles is played by Matt Lester.
Okay, well, the way that she breaks up with Matt Lester and her and having her friend there, Joaquin Phoenix, to tell her, like, do not feel guilty. Part is like what hit me hard. It was like, God damn it. Yeah, she's right to move on.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah, because, I mean, to be honest, like.
But being on the opposite side of
right.
that. And knowing that she is just moving on, that hurts.
Yeah, being the Charles to yeah. the Amy character. I'm with you. Yeah, to be brutally honest, I was in that position of somebody basically saying, that's enough. I can't take this anymore. I have to move on. But really just being two different people, like being in a place where it's like, we've been together for so long, but you know, I've grown apart. We've grown apart. I need to make the move to leave. I mean, I'm not going to boil it down to as simple as that, because in my thing, it was a lot more complicated. It's a lot for somebody just to say, I'm done, I'm moving on. But also I think that happens. I think maybe over the course of like a few days, you realize, oh, maybe this isn't right. I need to do something. And I like her character because she was, I think, brave enough to kind of not let it sit and say, okay, this is it. I'm getting a divorce from you. But yeah, to hear that on that side, yeah, Spike Jonze gives us so much perspective on two sides of, you know, being broken up with or moving on from relationship. Anyway, I just want to point out Scarlett Johansson, Joaquin Phoenix, those two. Joaquin Phoenix is a lovable dork in this. And the fact that he's just by himself talking to nothing with Scarlett Johansson. I'm sure she was on set. I don't know how they filmed this. I should look this up. We're just watching him react. We're just watching him talk to this voice that has no body. But it's riveting. And I guess I forgot about the sex scene. And watching it, or just hearing it, because it just cuts to black. We're just watching a black screen as they're having sex with each other just over voice. Like, that stuff, it works. It shouldn't work. It's ridiculous on the page, but yeah, I buy it because they're both great actors.
Have you done long distance before, Marcelo? I mean, that's how it is.
I know it's how like it is, but
and like, it's authentic. It's real. I can understand how Joaquin was able to get into that mode, even though it is silly. Like, you zoom out and it's a robot. It's some entity that he is talking to that is just made to mimic what she has learned through combing computers and people's personal lives. It's all real emotion that they are portraying, and I think both of them do it very, very beautifully.
Yeah,
this is still like top three Scarlett Johansson performances. Yeah, and you don't ever even see her.
Yeah. I mean, just to be clear, the process of just having sex over the phone, not ridiculous, but the fact that these two actors are so committed to doing it, and it feels very real, and it feels, yeah, like, I don't know, like two other actors of lesser quality could not have pulled this off. It could have been more laughable than it was, I think. I think that's what my main thing is.
Yeah, and it comes off romantically.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I buy it. I buy all this. And it feels like it could have been like on a tightrope of like, will it work? Will it not work? But thanks to the script and the acting, God, it does work. But yeah. Any last thoughts on her before we move on to the...
No, it's a fantastic film. I think it deserves reappraisal.
Yeah. I hope so. Maybe this will get things rolling. Maybe people will say, hey, remember her? All right. That's the movie of the week. That was the award-winning film Her by Spike Jonze, Oscar-winning, and also Talk Film Society Awards-winning film. And now for the big stuff. This is it. We're about 40 minutes in, and it's time for the show. That was the red carpet. There go all the stars. The stars are in the auditorium.
Yes, and now they are here to sit down and have us talk, listen to us talk about what we have been watching.
No, we're not doing that. This is
we're not doing that?
No. We got.
All right.
You don't want this to be 3 hours, do you?
All right. So it's time for the awards.
This is it. The Talk Film Society Awards. This is it. The 11th annual. Now pretend we have like some sort of like Billy Crystal entrance where we're parodying the films of 2023. I don't know. Where
I have to solve a murder. But it turns out I'm an actor in the murder.
Oh. I have to build a bomb. But it turns out I'm plastic and I'm a Barbie doll.
But the plastic Barbie doll was made by a sort of Frankenstein like scientist character.
But the Frankenstein character, he gets killed by Godzilla who steps on him.
And Godzilla's only doing it because she's in love with two people at once. And she's trying to reconcile those two different loves.
But it turns out they're all at a boarding school over the holidays, and they're being held over.
And they're all slowly being poisoned one by one in some kind of insurance scandal.
But then the AI villain comes in and says, "You must do my bidding or you all die."
I don't know what that one is.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Oh, okay.
And that's the skit. Whoa, hey.
Yeah.
All right. This is it. Now this is our host intro. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Talk from Society Awards. It's the 11th annual. Honoring the films of 2023.
We've got such films here nominated as Oppenheimer, right? Christopher Nolan. It's such an honor to have you here. To see you here. I've been watching your film since I was a kid, man. And you made this amazing film about the horrors of the atomic bomb and what we did as a society to create this horrible machine. And Greta Gerwig, you're here with your film about a doll with plastic boobies.
You dumb bitch. All right, joke's over. All right, let's go to the awards. All right, this is it. No more tomfoolery. No more jokes. Let's go to the first award.
And it looks like this is mine to present.
This is yours. All right, Siobhan, this is it. First award, take it away.
This award goes out to our best animated episode friend, Joey. This is the best animated film. Your nominees are The Boy and the Heron. There's a clip playing. Nimona. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Thwip, thwip, thwip.
The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Badonk.
Oh, Mario. Suzume.
I haven't seen that one.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Pizza.
Ah, pizza. And your winner is The Boy and the Heron.
Yay!
Hayao Miyazaki and company.
Boy and the Heron. Congratulations, The Boy and the Heron. It was a close race as the vote counter, Boy and the Heron pulled out in front.
I still have not seen it. I cannot comment.
All right.
But, I mean, look.
You keep your mouth shut. Yeah.
It's a Ghibli, and it's a Hayao Miyazaki Ghibli. I mean, that's something.
Let's just say this should win the Oscar this Sunday. But that's all I'll say. All right. Next category, Best Costume Design. Here are your nominees for the Talk Film Society Awards Best Costume Design. Asteroid City.
Freight train, freight train.
Barbie. Killers of the Flower Moon. Oppenheimer. Poor Things. And your winner for the Talk Film Society Award Best Costume Design is Barbie.
Barbie. Nobody could say that's undeserved. Best costume design? I mean, come on.
Look at those. I mean, literally, there's a scene pointing out how great the costumes are. I mean, come on. Obvious winner. A clear front runner in my book. All right. Costume design done. What's next?
Best sound.
Whoa!
Godzilla Minus One. John Wick Chapter 4. The Killer.
Ooh.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Oppenheimer. And The Zone of Interest.
Wow. What a
your winner,
slate of nominees.
And your winner for best sound is Oppenheimer.
Woo!
Bomb go. Boom. Boom. But after a long quiet.
Yes, it's super quiet. I mean, come on, Siobhan. Did you notice that? The score of the movie just kept going on and on, and then, like, during the bomb testing sequence, it just all went quiet, and then the bomb exploded.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm being honest here. Pretty good moment. All right, next category. Best production design. Look at these pretty buildings and sets. Here are nominees. Asteroid City. Barbie. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And your winner for Best Production Design at the Talk Film Society Awards is Barbie!
Also well-deserved. All those sets look so nice.
Come on. If a physical set...
Dollhouses brought to life.
I mean, people who say this is just a two-hour commercial, they can go suck a shit.
And stuff like the beach, where like the beach looks plastic, like
that's great. Ugh. The sets as they're moving along from like when they're on the boat and camping, that's all real. That's not CGI. All right, what are we doing here? I think they should do commentary for the Oscars after each win. Just some people on stage just talking about the winners. It's a good job, Robert Downey Jr.
Best supporting actor. Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
Oh, okay.
Best supporting actor, a big one. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., the aforementioned, for Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling for Barbie. Charles Melton for May December. Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Dominic Sessa for The Holdovers. And the TFSE goes to...
don't call it that.
Charles Melton in May December.
Whoa. That's an upset.
Wow. That's a little bit of an upset.
Charles Melton.
And one we like a lot. The Riverdale Kid Made Good.
Wow. Riverdale. I mean, how many fans of Riverdale are in the Talk Film Society? I mean, this could be... a crooked vote here. I mean, I call shenanigans.
Charles, you didn't deserve this.
I demand a recount. No, no, Melton is great. I sometimes the Talk Film Society Awards get it right in my book. I've been pounding this drum all season. I think it's a good win for Melton. He should have won something, and he won this. I can make him an award and send it to him. All right. Speaking of awards, let's give out another one.
Made out of snake skin.
Best original song. Why would he be made out of snake skin?
Isn't there a snake in that movie?
Made out of
larva.
No, there's a snake at the end. A lot of the important moments in May December take place at a pet store, and there's a snake at the very end of the movie too. So, yeah, snake skin could work, or made out of hot dogs, because that's a big quote from the movie. Julianne Moore says, we don't have enough hot dogs. Best original song. Do-do-do-do-do. Here are your nominees. Camp Isn't Home from Theater Camp. Dear Alien Who Art in Heaven from Asteroid City. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. Peaches from Super Mario Brothers Movie. Wazaze, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. And the winner for Best Song at the Talk Film Society Awards is I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
Whoa. And here to perform
is Ryan Gosling.
Marcella Pico.
Nope. I could do it. Hold on. Hold on. How does it start? Doesn't see. No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I could have. Again, I hope this does not mean. I mean, I hope people out there aren't thinking, is Marcello just picking the winners? I'm not. I can share the results if you want. DM me. This just so happens that everybody who is in Talk From Society is voting for my favorites. I mean, it's
but we
it's
are just about to get to an award where maybe you can't say that.
Okay, listen. To be upfront, you do what you got to do, Siobhan, with this category, and I'll talk about it.
Okay, best original screenplay: Anatomy of a Fall, Asteroid City, The Holdovers, May December, Past Lives, and Asteroid City is the winner. Sorry. <There's>...
Whoops. I think presenters should do that at the awards.
And the winner is Asteroid City.
The winner is Asteroid City. Okay. Listen, this year I did something different with the ballots, okay? I'm going to be upfront about this. This is full transparency. And Siobhan knows this. There was a tie in two categories. We had to break the tie for this category. It was between Asteroid City and Past Lives. Okay? As much as I love Past Lives, I consulted with Siobhan. So we're going to take the fall on this one. Together. Hand in hand. Asteroid City took the prize.
We both just decided, this is our hosting privilege, we both just decided, let's just give it to Asteroid City, because we were both leaning that way a little bit.
It was very close. I mean, you can put an asterisk on this award, but yes, Asteroid City is our winner. Again, super close call.
And Marcella mentioned a second tie. We will get to it later.
We'll get to it later.
We did not decide.
No, that one is up in the air because, again, we'll talk about it. But for this one, it was easier for us to decide. Asteroid City is the winner. Congrats, Wes Anderson. And I think it's the right call. I'm happy with a Wes Anderson win here. He's won before at the Talk From Society Awards. So good job. We can move on. Ooh, controversy sidestepped. Oh, I'm next. Best adapted screenplay. There's no controversy here. There's a straight winner here. Nominees are American Fiction, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And your winner for best adapted screenplay is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Excellent.
Woo! Screenplay by Eric Roth and Martin Scorsese. Yeah, this one was a clear winner. And by the way, I should preface this. Except for two categories, all of these winners are legit winners. There's no question. Like a category like this, Killers of the Flower Moon was ahead the whole time, and I'm happy for it. It's definitely in my book. One that should have been nominated at the Oscars, but I'm glad it won here. One of the best of the year.
I'm just glad to see, you know, Killers getting some love it deserves.
Yeah, it should. All right, next category. This one's on you, Siobhan.
Best visual effects. So feature some explosions and stuff in your mind. Creator.
I was going to say, I think every movie in this category has an explosion.
I think you're probably right. The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Oppenheimer. And your winner for best visual effects is Godzilla Minus One.
Yes. Woo. Wow. Deserving win.
Gotta see that Godzilla movie.
Ah, it's such a good Godzilla movie. It's so good. Special effects are great. I don't remember who said this on Twitter. It's somebody who everybody hates on Twitter. But he came out of it saying, after seeing this movie, he goes, "This movie sucked. The drama was boring. The visual effects were not great." Have you seen that tweet from this guy? No. Terrible person. But he's wrong. I'm glad Godzilla Minus One got the Oscar nomination for Best Visual Effects and might win. Truly great movie that I think should get a lot of recognition. And is already getting recognition from the Talk Film Society. And now, Best Film Editing. Ooh. Here are your nominees. Anatomy of a Fall. John Wick Chapter 4. The Killer. Killers of the Flower Moon. And Oppenheimer. Your winner for Best Film Editing at the 11th Annual Talk Film Society Awards is Oppenheimer. Good. Deserving win. I'm here to accept on behalf of Jennifer Lame is Marcelo Pico. Thank you. I'll accept this, and I will go ahead and say this is for Jennifer Lame's work for Tenet instead of Oppenheimer. Thank you, and good night.
Good Christ.
truly one of the best out there. Good job, Jennifer Lame, Oppenheimer. All right. And now we've reached the part of the show where we just sit down and talk about something special, Siobhan.
Yeah, we have a special award to
yeah.
give out.
Yeah, now I mentioned several minutes ago during our discussion of the first annual Talk Film Society Awards that there were special awards handed out there. The Founders Award and the Honorary Award. I guess we can call this the Honorary Award, right, Siobhan? The Talk Society yeah. Honorary Award.
Yeah, and this is something that we could give out to a film, a person, a concept, whatever we thought had like a very notable impact this year that is special to us. You could say this is our hoster's privilege.
Yeah.
Something that we, because I mean, we read our top tens and our favorites throughout the year. Most of those are not represented in these lists. So we get to just make a quick shout out to one thing that we would like to make a quick shout out to.
Yeah. And I asked Siobhan, hey, where would the best place be to ask people's opinions on what this could be, on what could we give this to?
Oh, okay. We're going to do that first. So, yes. So, I went to the talkfilmsociety.com/discord. Yep.
No
went
way.
Back to them. Once again, back to the well.
I told Siobhan to do this because I wanted to squeeze one more drip of this for another episode. let's see if we can squeeze one more next week. But for this week, so, we got some interaction to read off.
So I was a little confused by what people were doing based on what my question was.
Let's read them.
But we're gonna and I kind of like it. So it seems like people made up their own awards. So here, Joey comes in. Most necessary theatrical re-release. Stop Making Sense. That made a lot of waves last year.
You know what? I understand the exercise may have been confusing, or maybe this is just what I wanted. Because I think that makes sense. If we were to say honorary award to Stop Making Sense for coming back to theaters and shining a light on a true classic. You know, I could see that happening. Will that be our pick? I want to hear more.
Jay McMillan brings up something he's brought up many times before that I still don't know what it is. He says, best visual poem, All Dirt Roads Taste of Salt.
Yeah.
Maybe I owe you a Google.
Yeah. Directed by Raven Jackson. It's a movie that played at the Austin Film Society, speaking of societies, here in town a few weeks ago, but I missed. The plot says, the film charts the growth, loves, and heartbreaks of a black woman in Mississippi from her childhood through her adult years. So, sounds interesting. Sounds like I would love this movie, but I have not seen it yet. So that's all Dirt Road's Taste of Salt.
Best visual poem.
Yeah.
Tara. Best use of a catchphrase, Oppenheimer. Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
You know what?
Okay.
That's the winner.
No, it's not. Now we move. We keep going. Joey, he nominates a second. The funniest visual effects from Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. It is the effect of Chris Pine melting into when his like decoy breaks or whatever, and yeah. He like melts.
That's funny. I thought,
we got 4 laughing emojis on that one, by the way.
Wow.
People reacting. And we have Matt C. going, yes, this, as he replies to it. Jay McMillan also nominates a second. Best musical number no one is talking about. Brownie Tuesday from Joyride?
Gonna be honest, Jay McMillan, I've seen that movie and I do not know what you're talking about.
Right. Cool Jama also came in with something I was confused about until somebody else decided to clarify it. He said, best moped you'll never guess. And if it was left up to my own devices, I never would have guessed.
You would have never guessed.
But Jay McMillan clarifies it was The Pope's Exorcist, and sure was a fine moped.
Yeah, solid moped in a solid movie. Can you imagine if we just gave it to the moped in the Exorcist movie?
And Sam Shot First comes with our final suggestion. He says, Ayo Itabiri for Damn What a Year. He lists her credits, Bottoms, TMNT, I believe he means Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, Spider-Verse, I believe he means Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Theater Camp, plus The Bear and Clone High. So yeah, I mean, look, that, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, let's get into it, okay? And Siobhan and I have already talked about this off mic, but we can go back and forth here. Out of all the suggestions given, I think the only one that I'm intrigued by is the Ayo Idibere suggestion. Okay, I think she's had an amazing year. I love Ayo. I'm looking at her filmography yet again. And Sam already talked about it: Theater Camp, Bottoms, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Mutant Mayhem. Plus The Bear. What a year. Okay. But, Siobhan, what do you have up your sleeve?
So, what I would like to award is a little horror film that ended up being released in theaters. Just a handful of theaters. It wasn't a guarantee that it would be released at all. It could have been a Shudder exclusive. But they did release it in a handful of theaters, and it grew and grew because it ended up being a little bit of a surprise cult hit. That film is called Skinamarink.
Ooh.
Skinamarink, a film that I do believe shares a taste of the future of independent horror filmmaking. A film that, as I was watching it, I got feelings that I have only gotten from the greatest horror films, such as A Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if you will, where I feel like this is demonic, this is crazy, how did this movie get made? This comes from the mind of a very talented, special filmmaker. A film that I really hope tries to get replicated, and it very possibly could, because you can do this on as small a budget as you have. But doesn't mean that you can make it with this much talent and this much restraint. And as retro as it is, I think it is something that kind of speaks to us, uses our nostalgia against us. It uses nostalgia as a weapon. And it gets at just a very primal fear of the dark, of the unknown. It uses very simple horror concepts, but presents them in this fantastically new, evil, demonic, fucked up way that I have never seen before, and I hope to see carried onward. If the last 10 years of horror were elevated social commentary, I want the next 10 years of horror to be whatever the hell Skinner Marink is. Experimental. Let's fucking do that. Like, let's fucking try something.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Siobhan. I think this is going to be it. Skinner Inc. is going to get our honorary award this year. I'm with you. Like, it didn't make my top 10, but it made my number 11. Like, if for a while there, it was in my top 10. I was praising it. I was always on the let's go Skinner Inc. side. And like you were saying, like, to me, it hit primal fears, going deep into my nostalgia and fear of being a child, and all that was on screen. And I watched this in the theater. I experienced it like so many people did. But I came out saying, yeah, this is what I want in a horror movie. I do hope it signals like a new wave of horror, but I'm happy that it exists. And I'm happy to praise it here and say, hey, here's a special award. Kyle Edward Ball and the makers of Skinner Inc., congratulations. That's it. The honorary award this year goes to Skinner Inc.
And thank you for all the Talk Film Society people for your mentions that did not get used.
Yes, thank you.
You know, if I have to choose one of those, I'll go with Io.
Yeah, I mentioned Io last night when I talked to Siobhan. It was between Skinner Inc. and Io, but Skinner Inc. won out in the end. But yeah, because, I mean, come on, Io is going to have another stellar year next year.
Yes.
But I think Skinner Inc. should, it's polarizing for a reason. Right, but if we can get more people, if we can get at least one more person to watch Skinner Inc., you know, I can sleep well at night. Okay, and you want me to sleep well at night, don't you, listeners?
But if you do end up being the person that does watch Skinner Inc., I don't think you're going to sleep well at night.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. All right, so we hope you don't sleep well at night, is what we're trying to say. All right. So special award done. Congratulations, Skinner Inc.
That is our special award.
Yes.
Okay. We're back to the main show.
Oh, we're sorry, back. Everyone. Hey.
That was like our in memoriam.
Yeah.
That's our version.
All of those who died making Skinner Inc.
Best acting ensemble. We're back with a big one.
Woo.
Asteroid City. Barbie. The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and your winner, of course, is Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
I mean, how could one casting crew put together a team of 70 white people that are all somebody that you've seen before?
Yeah, the whitest of people all in one movie. Like, hey, there's Matt Damon. He's the co-star. But then you also have Rami Malek for 2 minutes. You got Casey Affleck for a minute. And then Florence Pugh's in there for a while. Yeah. Florence
Pugh, Josh Hartnett.
Mr. Bongos.
Very, very, very memorable stunt casting. It's a lot of stunt casting, I think. Josh Peck. But it all works. Like, it never distracts from the film.
Yeah.
They all feel like they fit into the puzzle. Their puzzle pieces that fit in very well.
I was gonna say even a softie could do like a performance like that, but like not stick out. Like, be part of the massive quilt this movie is made up of, like, odds and ends. But it works. I think it's a good. It's a good pick. Congrats. I mean, looking at that category, you got some stiff competition because I think Asteroid City gives it a run for its money. Also Killers too, but Oppenheimer
and Barbie.
Barbie
yeah,
too.
And
Holdovers for as much as you don't like it, Siobhan.
I mean, I guess it's not about the size of the ensemble. It's about who they cast.
It's about who they cast. I mean, speaking of cast, Best Supporting Actress. These people got cast in movies. Here we go. Here are your nominees for Best Supporting Actress. Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. Penelope Cruz, Ferrari. Claire Foy, All of Us Strangers. Rachel McAdams, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Julianne Moore, May, December. And Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers. Your winner. Best Supporting Actress at the Talk from Society Awards, 11th annual, honoring the best of 2023, is Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers.
She's sweeping them all, isn't she?
Even the Talk from Society Awards.
Even ours.
Wow. Even our awards. Coming in.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable. Nobody can stop her. Nobody should stop her, in my book. All right. Next award, baby.
We're looking at some of the best looking films of this year with best cinematographer, Dan Lawson for John Wick Chapter 4, Rodrigo Prieto, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Ryan, Poor Things,
Fisheye,
Hoyt Van Hoytema, Oppenheimer, and Robert Yeoman for Asteroid City. And your winner, the cinematographer of our winner 10 years ago, the cinematographer of her, Hoyt Van Hoytema for Oppenheimer.
Wow.
Amazing. It's full circle, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, it's almost like nothing changes. good job, Van Hoytema. Incredible work in Oppenheimer. I want to point this out. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday, just a few minutes after the voting closed for this, so I had to make this document pretty quick before we recorded. But pointing out some of the nominees so far, I mean, John Wick Chapter 4 getting a lot of love in the in a lot of categories. So I want to point that out. Also, of course, Asteroid City. So, you'd wish these were the Oscars. I think that was the thesis of starting these awards. It's like, hey, maybe we can do better than the Oscars. Right, Siobhan? We're doing better than the Oscars.
Maybe.
All right. Having said all that, now we get to the other category. Do the Oscars do this? Do the Oscars do what we're about to do right now?
Well, at the Oscars version of this, they hand out a piece of paper and have people pass it around, scratching like a little chicken scratch next to...
Do you like me, yes or no? Sort of that sort of thing happening. Best film score. Let me name the nominees and then we'll get into the business. Here we go. Best film score. Your nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Godzilla Minus One, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Okay. Like I said before, I'm trying a new ballot system. Maybe I'll go back to the old system next year, considering how things went this year. but this was a tie when we started recording. So what did we do, Siobhan? What did I suggest we do?
So I went into the TFS Awards channel, and I just we posted an emergency tiebreaker vote. You click the bomb emoji if you want to vote for Oppenheimer. You click the flower emoji if you want to vote for Killers of the Flower Moon. Those are the two that it came down to.
All right. I've got the result here. I think it's pretty much set. So here's your winner for best film score. According to the emergency tiebreaker on the Discord over at the Talk From Society Discord. Your winner for best film score is Oppenheimer. Boom.
Wow.
Bam. Boom. Bam. Boom.
Straight to the boom.
Congratulations, Ludwig Göransson. Now, this was one where Siobhan and I disagreed. Let's get into this.
Okay.
Coming in before we recorded, I knew it was a tie, and I asked Siobhan, listen, we could either decide here and now what the winner is, or we figure something else out. I already knew we were at both ends of this. I was on the Oppenheimer side, Siobhan was on the killer's side. That's it. I mean, how do you feel now, having been beaten by the Discord people?
I was beaten very handily. Three quarters of the vote did go to Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But all I can say is, like, listen to these scores in isolation. I think you will like Killers of the Flower Moon more, especially if you have any sort of
heart
in your little chest there, or like for like country music or something. This is a damn fine Southern Gothic rock album, country rock album.
Yeah.
That I think deserves. I'm glad it was the tiebreaker. I mean, it is a firm number two. And look, the Oppenheimer score is great, and it accents the film incredibly. But I just, I think so does The Killers just as well. And in isolation, Killers wins on that front as well. So I don't know.
This was tough, honestly. Because I do really like The Killers of the Flower Moon score, but Oppenheimer. I've said it so many times on this show. I'm tired of saying it. I'll say it one more time next week. But it's a favorite score of the year. And it's the reason why I think Oppenheimer's so good. But yeah. Sorry I had to come to this, Siobhan. But yeah, know that Killers came so close. One could say awards are dumb, and there should be no number one. We should all be number
pretty
one.
Silly, yeah.
They're very silly. Dumb. All right. Anyway, a call out the next
it's an
award.
An honor just to be nominated. But what's not dumb? This is the only award that's not dumb.
This one here.
Best actor. Woo! We're getting to the big ones. We're getting to the real big ones.
Big meaty boys.
The meat. Leonardo DiCaprio, Killers of the Flower Moon, Zac Efron for The Iron Claw, love it, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy, The Oppenheimer, Andrew Scott, All of Us Strangers, Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction, and... the actor goes to Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, My Countryman.
Wow.
Wow. The Peaky Blinder. I can't be mad about it.
Good job, Cillian
Murphy. Hope he gets his Oscar.
It looks like it. I think so. All right. Best actor. Well, by the way, Zac Efron getting nominated here.
Yeah, just shout out Zac Efron. I mean, come on.
I mean, again, I'm happy that I'm doing this every year where I think this is why I'm doing it. Just to shout out these performances that normally wouldn't get shouted out. So, Zac Efron, all the love.
Love that you made it.
Yeah. So, great job, Talk Film Society. All right. Best International Film. That's our next category. Here are your nominees for the Talk Film Society Awards. Anatomy of a Fall, The Boy and the Heron, Godzilla Minus One, The Taste of Things, and The Zone of Interest. Your winner for Best International Film at the 11th Annual Talk Film Society Awards, honoring the best of film of 2023. I've had too much to drink. Here we go. The winner is Godzilla Minus One. Wow.
Wow.
Godzilla towering over these other international films. Anatomy of a Fall, Born the Heron, Taste of Things, Zone of Interest. Wow. You know what? I think this is the Society of Talk Film has a good taste. All right, that's my comment. We can move on.
Okay, and now I get to present both Best Actor and Best Actress.
Wow.
What a joy.
What an honor you have.
Best Actress, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Huller, Anatomy of a Fall. Greta Lee, past lives. Natalie Portman, May, December. Margot Robbie, Barbie. Emma Stone, Poor Things. And your winner for the best performance by a female actor in this year is Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Wow.
Excellent.
Good job.
Correct.
Incredible.
Very correct.
Oh, how I wish this were the Oscars. I mean, I do hope. But yeah, great, great pick. Great nominees. Love to see Greta Lee, Portman in there. You got Margot. Come on. But Gladstone winning it. Good job, Lily. You know, I think, have you seen this picture going around where it's her in college. She's holding an award.
Yeah.
And on the on the picture it says, future Talk from Society Award winner.
I know, that's crazy,
right? Crazy that
was like, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, just to think, like, when she hears this episode, it's
she's like, gonna blow her mind. She's like, this, finally, I've done everything I need to do. She doesn't even attend the Oscars. She's good job, Lily Gladstone. I do sincerely wish she wins the Oscar. We won't know. The next time we talk, Siobhan, for this show, we'll have known the Oscar winners. We'll, wow. we'll know who won. So, wow.
Wild to think
that the future is coming. All right. Next category. Best director. Second to last category. This is it. I think Siobhan was right. Well, this is going to be a short one. Like, we're almost done here. Best director. Here are your nominees. Wes Anderson, Asteroid City. Greta Gerwig, Barbie. Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer. Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. Celine Song, Past Lives. And Justine Triet, Anatomy of a Fall. Your winner for Best Director at the Talk Film Society Awards, 11th annual, is Chrissy Knowles himself, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Christopher Nolan,
wow, wow.
What a career the man has had.
Wow.
And it all culminates.
Yeah, I mean, he finally got it. I mean, he finally got the Talk Film Society Award Best Director Award. Yep. He's been clamoring for all his life. Wow. All right. Best director done. Now best film. We're going to split this up 5 and 5. You'll do the first 5. I'll do the next 5. You'll announce the winner.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Your best film nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, Asteroid City, Barbie, The Boy and the Heron, Godzilla Minus One,
The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, and Poor Things.
What a crop. What a crop.
Amazing nominees. I mean, I'm very happy with these nominees. And I can't wait to hear what the winner is.
Yeah, I'm struggling to open the envelope.
Come on, hurry up. Don't drop it. Pick it up. What are you doing?
Shoot. Okay. I got it open.
Okay.
Opening it up. Read it. Wow. Wow, we have a surprise here. Your best film of 2023 is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Whoa.
Wow. Did not expect that.
Did not. I honestly didn't either. It was close, but Killers of the Flower Moon pulled it off.
Marcella, this is what you said very early on in this season.
Well, listen. Again.
You said...
I'm not... The Talk from Society Awards... I hope I'm not influencing them in any way, but it seems like I am, because you're right, Siobhan. Months ago, I said, I feel, at the Oscars in particular, I feel like it's going to be a split. Nolan director, Killers, the Flower Moon Best Picture. And here we see that split. Nolan director, and the Talk Film Society voters picked Killers as the best film. So, weird, right?
Wild. Yeah. Wild stuff.
Wild. But deserving winner. I'm very happy with
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I personally think the best film of the year.
Yeah. I you know, I've said this before. When it comes to the Oscars, I think almost every award that Oppenheimer will win, I think if Killers is in that category, I think Killers should be winning over Oppenheimer. In my opinion, I still think they're great movies, but I think Killers of the Flower Moon is a better film, and to see it win Best Film here, I'm happy with that. So I'm happy. What a night! Those were the Talk Film Society Awards. Wow, Siobhan, we did it!
Wow, what fun!
What fun! That was it. I mean, I hope people who care about this stuff are happy. I hope y'all are happy. And I don't know what else to say, Siobhan. Any last words?
If you're not happy, at least be feeling something.
Yeah, like, come on.
Any emotion. That's really what we want.
Come on. I think that's it for this episode, though.
Yeah. We actually made a short one for once.
Yeah, this is a short episode.
We did it.
Congrats, Siobhan. You were right. In and out. All done. But yeah, I think that's it. Siobhan, thank you. I'll talk to you one more time next week, and then that's it.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. And folks listening, thanks for listening. Plugs, go to talkfilmsociety.com. Follow the Twitter. I'll tweet stuff out during the Oscars. That's it. Go to Instagram. I'm using that more. At talkfilmsociety. And as always, I'll see you at the Oscars. No, wait. I never say that. I see you at the movies. Nope. I don't say that either. All right, bye.